I want to start this morning with Joshua 1, verse 6. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." God said, "I promised that I would give it to this people. Now I need you to be strong because I'm going to do so through you." And I believe there's people here this morning and God's saying, "I've got things I want to get to my people, but I want to do it through you." That would have been a good place to say amen. That's okay, we're just warming up. I'll get some amens as we go. Okay, so let's keep reading. Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." We are not under the law, so we are not meditating on the law anymore. We are meditating on the promises. Meditating means to mutter. And Kevin had a great word this morning about the power of speaking words over our life. Now, usually when we look at this passage of Scripture, most people pull out the words that God repeats. Namely, "be strong and courageous." Those are the words that usually stand out to us. And I could go into that this morning, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go in to another phrase that is repeated. And we're going to have a look at that. It's the words "observe to do." Observe to do. In other words, you have to see it before you can do it. You have to have it on the inside before you can live it on the outside. And many of the times the things that defeat us is not what's happening around us, it's what's happening in us. It's a picture that we hold on the inside that defeats us far quicker than anything on the outside. Oh, good. I am preaching to the right crowd. See, what we see on the inside determines what we live on the outside. No good trying to fix up the outside when the inside is defeating us. God says, let's look at the heart, for out of the heart flows the issues of life. Everything about our life is an inside job. So God wants to talk to us about what is happening on the inside. Wigglesworth said, "I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." In other words, he was saying, "I have built my inner man. And I'm much bigger in there than I am out here." But the question is what's going on the inside? What picture do you see of yourself? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a disaster waiting to happen? Or do you see yourself as a man or woman of God that is going to do something amazing? Has anyone been in the scenario where your computer screen is not working? Anybody been there? Great, a few of you have. You know all the information is in there. You put it in there. It's in the computer. You just can't see it. And you know that if you just could get that screen to work properly, you could see what you want to see. And then you could do what you want to do. See, I'm trying to give you a picture this morning of something I believe God wants to talk to us about. And it's the fact that many of us live without a screen. See, let me put it this way. Do you know that there are lots of TV programs going through this room right at the moment? Can you see any of them? No. Reason you can't see any of them is because nobody here is switching on a TV screen. If we did, we could see what is unseen. God wants us to see what is unseen. And many of us have this desire to move in the realm of the Spirit. And we know that the Spirit realm is there. It's all around us. The only problem is we don't have our screen on. Why not? Well, that's one of the things we're going to look at this morning. Why is it that a lot of Christians live without a screen? Lots of things happening around them in the spirit. It's God saying something all the time. I just picked two people out this morning and prophesied over them. Why? Because I wanted to highlight the fact that God is always saying something. We could go around and we could have something prophetic for every person here. Might take us a while. But some of you, if I called you up the front and said, okay, get a prophetic word for somebody here, you'd go, don't know. Why? Your screen's not on. Just elbow the person next to you and say, hey, is your screen on? Some of you aren't sure, are you? You're thinking, dear Lord, what's this girl talking about? John says he's got the wobbly lines. Okay, I'm going to start by talking about one of the reasons why a lot of Christians have their screens turned off. And in the process, I think you'll pick up what the screen is. Matthew 5, verse 27 and 28, Jesus talking. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And most Christians go, oops. And say, you mean, Jesus, that adultery is not just something I'm guilty of if I have sex with somebody I'm not married to? Adultery is something that can happen simply because I imagine it. And Jesus goes, yes. If you are imagining it in the eyes of heaven, you are doing it. Why? Boy, you've gone very quiet on me. Our imagination is powerful and it opens up reality to us. Now, what do we do? As good Christians, trying to be good Christians. I mean, I could pull up other scriptures in here as well, talking about, you know, it's not just murder if you kill somebody, it's murder if you actually have that anger and that resent towards somebody in your heart. Again, once it is in our imagination, it has a reality to it. So what do we do as Christians? Well, I'll tell you what religion tells us to do. It says smash the screen. If you want to be a good Christian, don't you go imagining things. Because we all know where that will take you. Imagination, oh, that's dangerous stuff. Imagination will have you in bed with somebody you're not married to. Imagination will have you doing things that are very wrong. So how do we deal with that? We just close down imagination. Then when God says, I want you to see what I'm doing, I want you to operate out of the spirit realm, we go, oh, I can't see. Calling evil what God has made good does not help us live powerfully for God. And I believe God wants us to switch back on the screen, to own our imagination. Now let me add in here that if you have a problem with pornography or you have a problem in this area, use wisdom. I'm not just saying that, you know, just let your imagination run riot and that's fine. See, the very next verse, Jesus said in verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. He gives us a pretty graphic, powerful picture and says, hey, listen, recognize the power of sin and where sin will take you and deal with it ruthlessly. Notice he says right eye. The right is always a place of authority. So if there's something that you are seeing that has authority over who you are, deal with it. Okay, so now that we've dealt with that side, let's go on to the fact that, is that the one I want? That anything powerful has the potential for great harm or great good. See, is a sharp knife evil? No, it can be used for evil. But one of the sharpest knives that you will get is a scalpel. And in the hands of a skilled surgeon, it can do much good. Your imagination is not evil. And many of us have treated it like it is. And because we have turned off our imagination, or we've been afraid to use it, or we've thought, well, maybe I can't use my imagination. I mean, isn't that what the New Agers do? They use their imagination. They see things in the realm of the spirit. Well, I can't do that because I want to be a good Christian. Let me say this. That's just as stupid as saying, as Christians, we can't have sex because that's what prostitutes do. Hello, you still with me? God wants us to use our imagination. Why? Because it opens to us the whole realm of the Spirit. How are you going to see the realm of the Spirit? Through your imagination. Through that inner screen that you have on the inside is what gives you the ability to see the spirit realm. It's time to turn it on. Well, what if it goes wrong places? Well, let me give you another little illustration. I have to get John to hold the mic for me. He'll come close. A little illustration for you. I picked this up from a conference years ago. Piece of wood with a groove that's cut into the wood. Okay? If I put the pencil in the groove and follow the groove, it's going to go down. In fact, it's always, always going to go down. And many of us are like that with our thinking, with our imagination. It goes down. It goes to the negative. Now, when is this pencil going to go up? Got your thinking, haven't I? When this groove is as deep as this groove. When our positive thoughts are in us as much as negative thoughts, then our thoughts won't always go to the negative. Don't be afraid of your imagination. Start to use it. Use it for God. Let it become the powerful medium that it is meant to be. God is looking for dreamers. Bible says that when God pours his spirit out, not only will we prophesy, that means to say words, but young men will see visions. Where? Out here? No, in their imagination. And old men will dream dreams. I don't know about you, but my dreams happen in my imagination. Where do yours happen? So maybe we should own our imagination. Walt Disney built Disney World looking for Imagineers. He built the happiest place on earth. To me, the saddest thing about that is that it wasn't a whole bunch of Christians who built the happiest place on earth. Why? Because most of them were too scared to use their imagination. Let's not be fearful of what God has given us as a means to bless the world. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Can anyone tell me what the soul is made up of? Mind, will, and emotions is what makes up the soul. Okay? If Jesus already mentioned soul, why does he mention mind again? Good question, glad you asked. Because it's usually the part of us we have most problems with, right? But also because of the use of the word that is in there. A couple of words for mind. One is dialogismos. It's the thinking of a man deliberating within himself. We get logic from there. You can see it in the middle of the word. Your second word for it is dianoia. It's the way of thinking and feeling, and it has to do with the imagination. Guess which one of those words Jesus used when he said, "Love me with your mind." It's love God with your imagination. If you're going to love God freely and fully as you want to, you're going to have to use your imagination. I don't know of many Christians who have had Jesus turn up in the flesh. Most of us have to see him through our imagination. And God says, love me with your imagination. I think it's time to turn the screen on. You can nudge the person next to you and say, hey, turn your screen on. Let's start to become Imagineers. I believe part of living powerfully for God is becoming people who own our imagination and will use our imagination. See, your imagination isn't meant to just float off anywhere. We need to know how to use it. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But let's look at this scripture. Ephesians 1 from verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is Paul praying for the Ephesians, and he's saying, I'm praying for you that you have wisdom and revelation. Let's see what he continues to say. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. I don't know about you, but I read that and go, wow, that sounds awesome. But where does it start? With the eyes of your dianoia or imagination. God wants the eyes, the inward eyes of your imagination to do what? To be enlightened. That word is photizo. It's the word we use to get the word photo. Does anyone know how you get a photo? John's got part of it. You expose something to light. That's a good start. What happens is the rays of light carry an image that is then impressed or implanted upon the film. So what is God saying here? He's saying that I want the rays of light that come through revelation and wisdom to come into you and to implant a picture on the inside of you. God wants to change our picture files so our imagination is full of God doing amazing things. See, if your husband or wife is late home from work, are you at home going, oh no, they've probably had an accident. I can see them, they're all smashed up in the car. Oh, that brand new car. That brand new car is all smashed up. Oh dear God. Where does your imagination go? Or does your imagination go, oh God, you must be using them to bless somebody somewhere. Wow, they must be having an awesome time with you, God. They're late. Wonder who you've got them talking to. Oh, boy, that person is going to be blessed. What pictures do you have on the inside? God wants revelation to hit us. If you've ever been reading something in the Word or you're just hearing something spoken and you get something from God and you can just feel it impacting you. You had that? Yeah. See nods and that all around the room. What God is doing is he's putting a photograph on the inside of you so that you can come back and look at that photo. We need those photos on the inside. Why? Because as you keep reading, that you might know. A lot of us, again, going back to the image at the beginning, we've got our screens turned off and we don't know much at all. It's all there. God's got it all for us. All the promises, already yes and amen. We're going, duh, I don't know. That you might know what is the hope of his calling. Friends, if you're without hope, you've got the wrong pictures in your imagination. The hope of his calling. He's such a good God. Your future is so full of hope and promise. It's something you can get excited about. The hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in heaven? No. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Wow, I could preach a whole message on this. I better watch my time. The riches of his inheritance are already in you. But if our screens are turned off, we just can't see. We can go pushing all the buttons, but nothing's showing up. Hello? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? Do you want to move in the power of God? Do you want to lay hands on the sick and see them healed? Do you want to speak into broken situations, see bondages broken, see people set free? Do you want to do all those things? Great, so do I. Where does it start? It starts in our imagination. Do you see yourself praying for somebody on the prayer line and going, dear God, I hope they get something? Rub them on the head and hope they feel better. And on the other side, you go, oh, that was useless. If we're going to impart the power of God, our screen has got to be on. See, I want to take us on to talking about moving in the things of the Spirit, doing all that. But you'll find it hard if your screen's not on. So we're going to finish this morning. First of all, I'm going to get you to pray after me. And we're going to pray through some things. And then we're going to finish doing an exercise with our imagination. But let me say this. You will find it risky using your imagination, especially if you have been through trauma or abuse. Because you've got some powerful images in there. And you may need the Holy Spirit to help you deal with those images so that you're free in your heart to use your imagination. Or you may also be in a scenario where you have used your imagination lots, but you know you've used it for the wrong things. And you know that you've shut your imagination down on purpose. It's like, I see nothing, I hear nothing, I know nothing. And it's like, I'll be a good little Christian boy and I'll just not see anything. God wants you a powerful spiritual man. And if I can be blunt enough to say that a lot of men struggle to see in the realm of the Spirit because of this very reason. And a lot of us have just assumed that women are more intuitive than men. I think it's just a lot of Christian men have played safe and turned their imagination off. And if that's you, God wants to help you turn it on and use it to love him. So I'm going to get you to pray after me, after I've had some water. What we're going to do is just confess our wrong use of our imagination, just in case that's an issue for somebody here. Then we're going to renounce the religious lies that have stopped us from using our imagination for God. And then we're going to ask God to awaken our imagination. Okay, so that's where we're going. You can opt in or opt out, how you choose. But if you opt in with me, I'm going to get you to pray out loud after me so we all feel comfortable. So let's pray. Father God, I ask for your forgiveness for wrongly using my imagination. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from every sin. Not only sin I have committed with my physical body, but also sin I have committed with my imagination. Lord, thank you for my imagination. I ask you, Lord, to reawaken my imagination, my ability to see the unseen. And right now, I renounce the lie that I have to turn off my imagination to live holy and to live pure for you. Holy Spirit, I yield my imagination to you. Help me to use my imagination to love God and to flow in the things of the Spirit. Amen. Okay, what I'm going to get you to do now is I'm going to get you to use your imagination just in a very simple way. Easiest if you close your eyes. And I want you to see yourself come in from the car at home, walk through the door, walk through the house, to your lounge. Then I want you to go and sit down in your favorite chair. And relax. Okay, you can look at me for a moment. Anyone find that hard to do? Quite easy, wasn't it? Okay, none of you left the building. We're going to do it again, and I'm just going to get you to simply go and sit in your favourite chair or your favourite spot. Your favourite spot may be out on the deck. Don't know. So close your eyes. And see yourself sitting in your favourite spot. Now I want you to imagine Jesus coming and sitting next to you. Now use your imagination to tell you what that feels like. Okay. Anybody want to give me some feedback? What was that like? What did you experience? What did you feel?
I mean, Jesus sat down beside me and I just immediately felt that verse, look at the birds of the air, they have nothing to worry about. And that's just came into me. It was just a peace and just a silence, and it was just a very peaceful feeling. It was just absolutely nothing to worry about.
Great. Anybody else want to share what they experienced?
We were looking out over the sea together and looking at the city, and he said, I created all that for you.
Great.
Mine was a bit funny. We've got one of these big lazy boy chairs, and sometimes if someone comes and sits on the edge of it, it can feel like it's going to tip over. So I mean, Jesus came and it's like the chair sort of tipped over. And we just laughed and laughed. And then Jesus said, let's move to the couch.
That's awesome.
I heard the Lord say, when you create in the realm of your imagination an event or a reality, you are giving me permission to, first you're giving yourself permission to live that reality, and then you are also giving me permission to create the outward reality of what you are imagining. But it first has to take place there. God has given man dominion, and we must create first in our imagination that permission for him to exercise his authority on our behalf. But he will not, override our free will. And the word permission came to me so strong that when we create it in our minds, we are giving God permission. We're giving ourselves permission to be that. And then we are giving God permission to create that reality as we co-partner with him.
Great. Well, listen, our time has gone. We're going to pick this up next week, and we're going to take this even further. But I have some homework for you to do. See, the second time, like the first time I gave you the little exercise, come in through the door, you've come from the car, and walk into the lounge and find your chair and sit down. Okay? Sometimes if you find it hard to actually connect, it's good to actually see yourself do that. But most of you, I think, the second time could easily see yourself just sitting in your favorite spot, right? Okay, I'm seeing some nods around. Yep. I want you, as much as you can this week, to see yourself in that favorite spot with God. I'm wanting to get you to activate your imagination. Okay, Jeremy talked about being in there and just feeling like there was no care in the world. That peace. Do you know you can do that in an instant? You can be at work, you can be in the midst of something, and you can just go, thank you, Jesus. And we're going to talk more about doing that next week. But you can get into that place in God really quickly. And I want you to practice that this week. And then next week we'll hear some testimonies about how you found that. And next week we'll take that a bit further.